iPad or look at it on the screen.
Joshua 24. Then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. He summoned the elders, leaders, judges, and officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your forefathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham, and Nahor, lived beyond the river and worshipped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the river and led him back through and led him throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I assigned the hill country of Seir to Esau, but Jacob and his sons went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I afflicted the Egyptians by what I did there, and I brought you out. When I brought your fathers out of Egypt, you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued them with chariots and horsemen as far as the Red Sea. But they cried to the Lord for help, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians. He brought the sea over them and covered them. You saw with your own eyes what I did to the Egyptians. Then you lived in the desert for a long time. I brought you to the land of the Amorites, who lived east of the Jordan. They fought against you, but I gave them into your hands. I destroyed them from before you, and you took possession of their land. When Balak, son of Zippor, and the king of Moab prepared to fight against Israel, he sent for Balaam, son of Beor, to put a curse on you. But I would not listen to Balaam, so he blessed you again and again, and I delivered you out of his land. Then you crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho. The citizens of Jericho fought against you, as did the Amorites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hittites, Girgashites, Hivites, and Jebusites. But I gave them into your hands. I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you. Also the two Amorite kings who did not do it with your own sword and bow. So I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build. And you live in them, and eat from vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day who you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our fathers up out of Egypt from that place of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we travelled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord, because he is our God." Joshua said to the people, "You are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you." But the people said to Joshua, "No, we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said, "You are our witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord." "Yes, we are witnesses," they replied. "Now then," said Joshua, "throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "We will serve the Lord our God and obey him." So that day Joshua made a covenant for the people, and there at Shechem he drew up for them decrees and laws. And Joshua recorded these things in the book of the law. Then he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak near the holy place of the Lord. See, he said to all the people, this stone will be a witness against us. It has heard all the words the Lord has said to us. It will be a witness against you if you are untrue to your God. Then Joshua sent the people away, each to their own inheritance. After these things, Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. And they buried him in the land of his inheritance, at Timnath-Serah, in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gaash. Israel served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him and who had experienced everything the Lord had done for Israel. And Joseph's bones, which the Israelites had brought up from Egypt, were buried at Shechem in the tract of land that Jacob bought for 100 pieces of silver from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem. This became the inheritance of Joseph's descendants. And Eleazar, son of Aaron, died and was buried at Gibeah, which had been allotted to his son Phinehas in the hill country of Ephraim.
Thank you. So there we have it. We come to the end of the book of Joshua. We've gone through it a little bits by bit. We haven't done all of it. We never said we would be able to do all of it. I trust that you've read all of it, though, as we've gone through it and understood about God's plans for you in it. You know, we've heard from this platform, myself and other people who have tried to expand and deliver God's word for us to help us to move with Joshua from here to here. I did about 20,000 steps that sermon. From here to here. And we've also said that, you know, we've seen victories, we've seen difficulties, we've seen things that we cannot understand. But we've seen God at work. And so today we come to the last in this series, and then we're going to be focusing on some slightly different things going into Christmas. But we finish, and the title for this sermon today is Strength for Service. Strength for the service of the Lord. And this was written 6-7 months ago, but strength for service, Joshua 24. And so I want to talk today about what it means to have strength for the service that God has called us to be, to do. The recurring theme in the book of Joshua, if you haven't noticed it, is service. I haven't just pulled that out of there, because I'm always talking about how we should serve and get involved in church. But actually, the recurring theme in the book of Joshua is that theme of service. It's about being the people of God, serving God. The people of Israel were serving God as they possessed the land promised to them. In their lives of believers, they served God in their burdens as well as their joys. They served God when they were robbed of things and situations, as well as they serve God in their enthusiasm and joy. And we see in the whole book of Joshua that God's love was present. God's love was always present. We see that God's love was there, but his protection was there, and his power had taken hold of many of the hearts of the people of this time. And because of that, they were fruitful on their front lines. They did the things that God asked them to do. And we see, and we're going to see again today, that God gave them the strength that they needed in their service of him. We are never able to ever say that God will not strengthen those in his service, because he will. We can see that from our forefathers. We can see that from scripture in the New Testament. We can see that from church historians. We can see that in the life of this church and many other churches, that God strengthens those that he has called for his service. Not to say that it's not wearisome at times or difficult or you need your armor on, or you need your sword, or you need your prayer warriors. But God always protects and gives strength for those who serve him. And he will do the same for each of us here this morning. But you see, as a result, we see that those who serve God in the book of Joshua did it out of two things. Can I suggest you? They did it out of devotion to God, and they did it for love of God. They did it out of devotion for God, and they did it out of love for God. Now, Joshua was a strong leader, wasn't he? But yeah, sometimes he was a bit wobbly, but generally speaking, he was a strong leader. But I don't say that as a result, they served Joshua out of love and devotion, because they didn't. They served God through Joshua. And we see that, don't we, time and time again in this book, that actually when God had spoke to Joshua, and then Joshua spoke to his people, they did it, what Joshua asked them to do, because they got a glimpse, time and time again, of the importance that this was for God. And because they were devoted to him. Now we know there were some pickles along the way, and we've read about those stories, and we should take heed when we hear about the whole story about when we read that story about the person who sinned, and the whole of the community had to take on board that sin. And there was some really hard stuff, but let me just focus on three things today in closing this series. And I'm really happy. I'd love to have done a little bit about the killing and the pain in Joshua. And I've got loads of notes on that, so I'm going to make myself available one afternoon during the week. I'm going to put it in the bulletin. And he's looking at me going, when are you going to do that, Scott? But I'm going to make it, because I think it's really important. And I'm going to just invite, if you want to come and do some of that journeying with me, then come, and we'll talk about some of the pain and the suffering of Joshua as well. Because some of you asked about that. But let me look at three things. First of all, I want to look at that. Actually, that is all about strength for God's service. But let me say the first thing, that service is explained. When God asks us to serve him, he explains. It says here in Joshua 24, verse 2, Joshua said to all the people, "This is what the Lord of God of Israel says." So, see, when the Lord asks of us to do something, when he asks of us to serve, he will tell us what we need to do. And he will do that through himself, or he'll do that through other people. Joshua said to all the people in verse 2, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says." As in, this is what God has told us we need to do. He explained where the authority came from for the service that we needed to do. The authority came from God, and we needed to serve God. So service was explained. It was explained that actually we do all that we do then and now for God, for his praise and for his adoration. So in order to encourage and inspire the Israelites for further service, Joshua reminded them of their history and all that had happened. We see that in that story there, Joshua reminded them and encouraged them and inspired the Israelites for their further service by Joshua reminding them of their history of what had already happened. Did you see that? It was really cool, wasn't it? That he just said, and one thing I read when I first came to this church is this. Put your hand up if you've read it. And there's some more copies around. And I read it a little bit again today, this last few days. And when I read this story, I'm delighted by the encounters of God in this book. There's a few little discussions about building projects. Well, nothing's changed, has it? But actually, I'm encouraged when I read the history of this church between 1798 and 1998. Yeah? I'm encouraged by going through this history. And I remember when I first read it coming into the pastorate in this church, it was like, wow, what a history we've got. And let's build on that. And I remember reading this thinking, ooh, Mr. Pilkington come in here telling them all about the heathens and all the rest of it. Like, come on, let's have a bit of that. Probably not as much energy left in me right now to do some of that. But I was really encouraged by the history of it. But also, if I look back the last 5 years, there's lots of stories and lots of things that God has done among us, his people, that actually also can encourage us and inspire us for the future service that God is calling you to do. You see, the thing is, when we listen to the stories of the past, they give us a strength to live the present day. I was talking to a milker this week, Pastor Milker, as I often do, and every time I phone him up, I'm saying, don't tell me anymore about how God is saving people and this and that. He said, why not, Pastor? It's good news. I said, yeah, but I long for that too. He said, well, it's okay. God understands your longing, but I've got to give glory to God for what he's done. So basically, Scott, get over it. So I listen about all these stories, but actually the reality is they inspire me. And actually, as I've listened to stories that you've told me, and as you've listened to stories I hope that I've told you, that they've encouraged us and inspired us. And actually, this book, when I read it first time round, and when I read it again these last few days, it's inspirational. Because it speaks about how the people of God were devoted to God out of their love for God. And I believe that as I stand here today and look out, I see people in front of me that are also devoted for God and in love with God. And so here Joshua says, look, let me encourage you with all the stories, all the battles that we've won. And that just fired them up to understand that they're going to win some more. So in order to encourage and inspire the Israelites of the future services that God wanted them to do, Joshua reminded them of the history of what had already happened. But you notice who he credited for all of it? God. He credited God for all the victories. I don't know, maybe it's just me. My colleagues might not do this, but sometimes as a pastor you can say, well, look at what happened under my reign, under my leadership. I don't think I can say that here, but in that sense of look what happened under my time. And there's that humility reminder there that whoever God calls into leadership, be lay leadership or ordained leadership or any type of leadership in the church, if it's Sunday school or Carers Cafe or whatever it is actually he credited God all the victory. And actually that's a really good lesson, isn't it? For us to say, God, you have all the glory. You have it all because you deserve it all. And that's why I wanted us this morning just to say thank you to God for everything he's done. I'm exhausted. I've had a busy few days, but ups and downs and wibbles and wobbles in the way. But I still have to praise God because God is good and is worthy of my praise today. And actually, I love here that he encouraged people about the history, but he credited God for the victory. He credited God for the victory. But he also challenging them to continue in their service and victory. So he said, look, this is what's happened. I know you're devoted to God. Be encouraged by what's happened. He is explaining the whole story to them to lift their souls for the service that God has still got them to do. They're not finished yet. And boy, did they have some adventures after this. Well, we're not going into that, but they have some adventures. So he challenged them to continue in their service. And he challenged them to continue in their victories. And when God wants us to serve, he shows us what he wants us to do. And if you sat here the same, well, you know, we've heard a lot about service this week and JB said on Tuesday that, you know, there's a place every member equipped for ministry. There's a place for everybody to serve in this church. He's actually saying, well, yeah, you know, there is a place. Find that place. But actually, if you're tired of serving, then God gives you strength to serve a bit more by giving you the encouragements of what he's done. And God has done some great things among us, and he's done some great things in the past. And actually, as Jane really helpfully said it, he's going to do some great things in the future. You see, he challenges us, he explains to us what it all looks like. You know, whenever you've served and you've been disencouraged, you don't ever serve again usually. But when you've served and somebody encourages you, you serve again. But when you serve and somebody's encouraged you, you serve again. But when you've served and you see God supernaturally moved by his power and authority and breakthrough in people's lives, then you're like, give me some more. Trust me, if you've never been there, give me some more. I'm involved in an event this afternoon with some of us in this church at the Mega Center where there'll be 300 people coming to find out about Christmas. Yeah, I'm just praying for some fruitful conversations of salvation this afternoon. They can come and listen to Father Christmas and sing some carols if they want, but I know that they need to encounter Jesus. Now, I'll be a little bit more strategic, but I'll find some people that I can tell. You see, Paul did something similar, didn't he, in the book of Ephesians. He reminded the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, he said this. He reminded them of their gift of salvation. But because of this, his great love for us, God who in rich in mercy made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead to our transgressions, it is by grace that you have been saved. Paul then told the believers this wonderful understanding of service, for we are God's workmanship. It's true though. It's true. Don't always feel like that, do we? Come on, somebody say no. Come on, don't. You know, but it says that for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So for me and for you, God gives us the strength in his service because God needs us to serve. For we, you and I, are God's workmanship. Today, we're God's workmanship. Even with all that nonsense in our hearts right now, or our minds, or those sins that we're struggling with. You know what? God's bigger than that. We allow ourselves to be consumed by that, but God says, you know what? That's part of life. I love you. Come on, I've heard you repent in heart. Up you get again. Come on. Jolly yourselves along. Would God say jolly yourselves along? He might. It's a bit like Paul rocking in his rocking chair. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do the work that God has called for us to do in advance. So God gives us the strength for the things that he wants us to do, because God still wants us to serve him tomorrow. And the reality is God wants us to serve him until he says, well done, good and faithful servant, welcome. You've arrived. You're in heaven. And until then, he will give us the strength to serve him. Now, service is totally, it means loads of different things. When you're 105, you might not be able to run around with Boys Brigade, but you'll be able to pray for Boys Brigade. For the children of Israel and for Christians today, the walk into the promised land is accomplished by the power of God. He desires us, you and I, to move out of the wilderness places into the places of service and blessing. Because as a result, when we do that, we see God move powerfully. So then let's go on to verse 15 just for a few moments. It says there that service is not just explained in verse 2, but it's experienced. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whatever the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of, etc., etc. For as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The Israelites responded to this challenge by dedicating themselves to God again. Do you notice how many times they dedicated themselves to God? But we see here, they said, the Israelites said, we respond to this challenge again by dedicating ourselves to God. They saw that God had led them and given them victories. You see, they understood their history because they walked it through their history. And we understand our history. And if we pause for a moment and look back at it, then actually we can see where God has been so good and so faithful. They saw that God had led them and given them the victory, and they were willing to move forward in service to him again. You see, I love that. For as for me and my house, hold, we will serve the Lord. But I love there that it says, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself. Choose for yourself this day who we will serve. And actually, you know, we don't live in a nation, and Stu said this really helpful in the 9 o'clock. You know, we don't live in a country where there's loads of gods. Like India, they've got how many? 3,000 gods. Millions. All right, that's a few, isn't it? 3 million, I was listening. 3 million gods. But we don't live in a nation where we talk about different gods as much as they do. But we live in a nation where different people have different things that are their gods. We do. We have many people that have different different things that are their gods, those things that they depend their life in, that they trust their life in. But we also, as Christians, have those things that we would also say are things that we need and things that we need to spend time doing. And sometimes we also worship our own idols and gods that isn't really God. And actually by doing those, that distracts us from serving the God that he's called us to serve. But I need this and I need that and I need this and I need that. No, you don't. You need God. Now, don't misunderstand me. I've got a house and I've got a car and I've got central heating and all those other things. But, you know, somebody put, on Black Friday, you know, it's only a deal if you need it. If you don't need it, don't buy it. You know, it's like, well, look on and say, well, you bought something, Scott. Look at that, look. I bought some of these Eco Dot things for my children because I thought they're cheaper now than Christmas. So they don't nick my one from the lounge to listen to music in their rooms. Makes sense, doesn't it? Come on, somebody help me out. Thanks. But the reality is, you know, that actually, you know, we just need God. That's all we need is God. And out of the presence and the abundance of God in our life will flow everything else. Let's have God as our God first and foremost. And out of that flows his riches, his blessings, his goodness, his glory, his provision in remarkable ways. Doesn't it? But we're first saying, he's our God. And I love the way here he says, you know, but who are you serving? And we can only be fruitful in our service if we're serving God. We can't be fruitful in our service if we're trying to serve all of our own desires and all the other things that we distract ourselves with, because they will not help us serve God as well as we could, and maybe we won't see the victories because we're not fully sold out for serving God in those things. You know, I was speaking to somebody just this week. They said to me, but I do lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots, drink lots of coffee, do lots of things, blah, blah, blah. I said, but what has God told you to do? Well, nothing, so that's why I'm just doing what I'm doing. I said, but how much of it is strategic in telling people about Jesus? Well, no, that's a bit bold. I said, well, find that, because you can spend your whole life being busy serving all these other things and not serving God. And then maybe you'll look back on your life and say, well, wait a second, maybe I wasn't as fruitful as I could have been. You see, here it was different, but it's similar. But then they say, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Likewise, we must realize that Jesus provided, they saw that God who had led them had given them victory, so they trusted in God. But likewise, we must realize that Jesus provided salvation at the cross for all of us, and that salvation then redeemed us to have a living relationship with Christ, so that his Holy Spirit lives within us. And through that relationship with Christ, we must then decide what to do with it. And my suggestion would be that we would choose to serve the Lord, because he's the one that's given it. It's like saying, well, I'll take the salvation and I'll take it all and you gave it all to me, but I'm not actually going to be devoted to serving you. And we see again, don't we, in this book that God gave these people strength to do that. But see, we must decide for ourselves, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In God's family, we're going to do it properly. Read God's word every day, and then we're going to pray. So let me ask you a question and ask myself the same question. As for me and my house, we serve the Lord. How? Let me ask myself that question. How? Read the Bible every day? No. Pray every day? No. You know, it's so easy to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But then you don't have to tell me how you do it, but God needs to see evidence of it. He needs to see real evidence of it. Because it's just, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, but yet we just come and do what we want to do when we want to do it, etc., etc., etc. Or we don't read out the Bible in our house, and we don't pray, and we don't tell our children about the things of God. And when our friends come, they don't realize that our house is different because God's present. Do you know what I mean? Do you hear what I'm trying to say? We can say these words. We can even say, I'm a Christian. We can even say, I go to church once a month. or twice a month, or four times a month. We can say all the words, but God wants to see the declaration of that statement lived out in our lives. So as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Doesn't mean that our house is perfect at the Williamson House. It's far from perfect right now, actually, if I'm really honest with you, because we're struggling. But our intention is, for as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What that looks like, complex right now. But our intentionality is, God, we're going to do it. Our desire is to do it. You're going to help us do it. We're not just saying, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the reality that in our home or in your home, there's no reality of Jesus there at all. From what you allow your children to do, to what you watch on the TV, for the conversations that you have, for the way you spend your money in there, for the way you redesign it, or whatever. You see, when we start with God as our God, and we say, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord, God will always be faithful. And God is always faithful. Somebody looked at my new car the other week and said, oh, that's nice. You must have got a pay rise. I said, no, I haven't got a pay rise. But God's called me. And so I'm blessed. And I've got a pay cut. But I'm still blessed. Because I'm walking into the things of God for my life right now. And then they probably regretted saying to me, nice car, you must have got a pay rise. But I'm blessed with less money because God is with me. And so actually when you decide that God is your God, and out of that flows the abundant blessings of God. And they made a decision there to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now they had experience of the past, of God's victories, to say that we've got enough. Even if we don't, let's just look at the cross. It's empty. He's not there. He's resurrected. And he's alive. And he did that for you and I. That's enough. That's enough. And then we go on to verse 23 to 24, you know. Now then, said Joshua, throw away your foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord our God and obey. See, if we are to accomplish the things of the Lord in our nation at this time, we have to accept to first serve the Lord, and secondly, to depend on his strength in serving the Lord. Jesus offers himself to the, God offered himself to the Israelites, and Jesus offers himself to us today. He offers himself to us today as a source of power and a source of strength. A source of power and a source of strength. A source of power and a source of strength. A source of strength to depend on God, and a source of power to deliver the things that God has asked us to do for his service. You see, because in our own power, can I suggest to you that we'll fail and we'll fall. But in God's power, we'll be strong and mighty, and we will be victorious in the things that he's asked of us to do. You see, if however we use his power in other ways, then I believe the book of Joshua has already told us that we will face rebuke. But if we use his power in our weakness, in our humble ability to serve the Lord, then he will make us strong. And as he makes us strong, he will give us the ability to serve him. He will give us the anointing to do that. And he will give us the victories to declare it. Let me finish just with a couple of things to say. I'll never forget, and I say this in a way just to give God some testimony and God some glory. I'm a twin, as many of you know. I saw my brother on Friday. He came to meet Jessica's boyfriend just to make sure everything's in order. The big uncle came from the army with his regimental stick just to make sure that he understands. I joke, but actually my brother and I, we have a great relationship now, and we never used to, but we do now. And I remember growing up with my brother. As many of you know, I couldn't read or write when I was younger. Can't really read very well or write today, but God's power lives within me, amen? And I've never shied away from it. I've never told lies about it. I've always been truthful about it. And I remember my brother used to always help me out at school, because when the teacher would ask for somebody to write or someone to say anything, to do anything on the board, he'd always say, "Oh, you got the wrong one, sir. You got the wrong one, miss. It's me. I'm Scott." And he'd always go up to the board and write for me. I tell you what, the teachers were so confused. One day it meant that I got the cane for him because the teachers got confused. The teachers got confused, and my brother said, "Mate, you took 24 whips on your bottom. Then I've helped you out." I said, "Yeah, I'd rather have you not done." Anyway, true story. They said, "I said, it's not me. Nah, we've worked you out, you Williamson boys." I said, "Sir, it's really not me." It was about 6 months later when we left school. The head teacher said, "It wasn't you, was it?" I went, "No, sir. It wasn't me. Do you want to still see the marks?" An army school. They didn't mess about. It wasn't Fitzweimar. It was an army school. You know, they didn't mess about. But the reality is, he used to always do that for me. He used to always do that for me. Because he knew the reality of the situation. And we left home, and he went on to do what he did, and I went on to do what I did. And I'll never forget, and don't remind me, it was in Blackpool when we were being commissioned for BMS and also getting my handshake, you know. And because we were going with BMS, BMS asked me to say a few words on the platform. And I got up on the platform, and I think it was about back in the day when Baptist Assembly was busy and full. And there was probably about 3,500 people. And my brother said to me, he says, "One thing I've always tried to figure out is this. You know what, when you said you wanted to become a vicar and all this sort of jazz, I never quite understood it." He said, "But tonight I saw before my very eyes somebody who I know better than anybody else does," because he does. He's my twin brother, man. We lived in the womb together, you know, we're buddies. You know, he said, "I saw somebody who stood up on the platform tonight and spoke." And he said, I know your story. And nobody else in that auditorium knows your story, apart from Antoinette and some others. And he said, "I don't get your God, really. But one thing I'm assured of is this, that if your God can enable you to do that, then your God is a God of power and strength." And I got off the platform and I sat down, and I won't go on about it, but he just couldn't get it, that God, when God wants to equip and enable his people, that he'll give them all that they need. And I told him that for years. I told my parents that for years. I won't tell you what my dad said because I'm in the pulpit. But I told them that for years. But when they saw it with their own eyes, knowing who I really am without Christ, but then when Christ lives within me, they were just like... Now my grandmother, who's 90, who I'm going to be really blessed to be with her on her 90th birthday next year, she said, "I'm glad that God called you to be a vicar," she said, "but I'm hoping that he will tell you just to speak for a little bit shorter though now." So let me finish by, that's what she says, doesn't it, Antoinette? She says, "He's awfully long-winded," which means he's a blatherer. He goes on. But I say that point to say this, and then I'm going to just read a verse, and I want us to stand up and maybe pray. is that in this story of Joshua, Joshua gave strength and power to his people of inability, and they did some mighty things for God. He reminded them of their history to encourage them. We have so much history in this nation and in this church. But he says to his people time and time again, be sold out for God. Love God. I said it right at the beginning, didn't I? It says, love God. Serve God out of devotion and love. That's all that God wants of us, is to serve God out of devotion and love, making him our number one God, the only God. And out of that, God will do amazing things through us. Now, have we not seen that in the book of Joshua? And if God wanted it for the people in the time of Joshua, why does God not want it for his people today? Can't do it. You don't have to. God will do. I've not got the ability. You don't have to have the ability. God will give it to you. I'm scared. Well, don't think Jesus was. He'll help you. Trust him fully, in full surrender, and you'll be amazed of what he'll overcome. You see, when we come to the end of this book and it says there's strength for service, there's only strength for the service if we commit to the service. And when it's of the Lord, God will give us immeasurably everything we need for it. There's people in this room, myself included, that can testify that God is our strength when we remain faithful. Many of you could tell me stories that God has been so faithful to you and so strong with you when you've kept faithful to what he's called you to do. So God says to us this morning, I give you my strength. Devote yourselves to me, for as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It says in verse 14, I know I've gone back a bit, but I wanted to finish with this. It says here in verse 14, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your forefathers, worship beyond the river of Egypt, and serve the Lord. I wonder if the worship band can come up. And I wonder if we could just have a moment. And then we're going to finish with the last song, please, Adrian. We're going to finish, just to put it in context, we're going to finish in a minute. We're going to sing a song, All to Jesus, Our Surrender. And Ricky and Jonathan and myself and many others will tell you that when you live your life in full surrender to Christ, it's tough sometimes, but it's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Jane's book tells you that, if you want to read it. But I love the way that Joshua, at the end, he gave God the glory, but he encouraged his people. And so we've given God the glory already this morning after we sang that song. But I want to encourage you as God's people this morning to say, are you able to stand up today and say these words to God? Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away all other gods. Are you willing to stand today and say, Lord, I'm willing to serve you in total surrender, in total faithfulness. I'm going to fear you in a loving way, but I'm going to fear you, and I'm going to serve you in total surrender. Because when you serve God in total surrender, and when you hear the call of God in your life in total surrender to do some things that man or woman might seem crazy, let me tell you this, God will never let you down. It's my experience. He's never done it yet, and I don't think he's going to start now. But I think that's a massive challenge to us today. Are we willing to serve the Lord faithfully? Are we willing to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, and actually to deal with the consequences of that? Or a better way of saying it is really living it out. Because when I read through the book of Joshua again this week, from start to finish, I had to do something this week because it was a hard week, so I thought I better just read God's word, that will help me. And as I read the book of Joshua again from start to end this week, I was just reminded again of, yes, they went through some ups and downs, but the fruitfulness of it is just amazing. And then Jane comes this morning, and I didn't know what she was going to say, because you never do when you invite Jane, but one thing I do know is that she's a woman after the Lord's heart, and she often has a prophetic voice in the Baptist family and in other things that I've been involved with her in. And then she says on the platform today, God is about to do something. I think that's prophetic for us as a church community. But I do think a lot of that has to do with us saying, not just talking at church meeting, but us saying, Lord, I'm just willing to serve you, whatever it means, for the glory of God and for the fruitfulness that came in Joshua's time to come in our time. And I guess the responsibility is not mine for you and yours isn't for me. Mine is for me and yours is for you. And God doesn't want perfection. We've worked that out through Joshua. But what God just wants is somebody who belongs to him to fully surrender to him. Can we stand and have a moment of silence? Father God, in this moment, I just pray, Father God, that you would speak to each of us as individuals into the things that you would have us hear this morning. Lord, you know our lives. You know my life. You know our lives. You know the parts that we don't like and the parts that we do. But Lord, I pray that just in this moment, that you would just speak into our hearts now. And maybe that you would just enable us today to say to the Lord who has given us salvation and liberation, to the only God, our Savior, that maybe today we would be able to say individually in our hearts to you today, that as for me, I will serve the Lord. Jesus. Jesus, Holy Spirit, come. Father God, we place again into your hands ourselves and our community. And we pray, gracious Father, that you would grant us your presence in our lives and your mercy. And we pray, Father God, that you will help us, the people of God, to live with God, and to declare him in our lives fully, and to live in full surrender, so that the world may know that Jesus saves and that Jesus is alive today. So Lord, help us, I pray, to say those words that the Father delights to hear. As for me, I will serve you. Lord, help us to find our place and help us to be obedient children to the only God, because there's not loads, there's one, and his name is Jesus. And Lord, help us to serve you faithfully. And Lord, out of that, I know that you will bring abundance of your blessings and salvation, and you will be a God that will always provide for your people. Lord, penetrate to the depths of our souls today, I pray, and bring about a radical transformation. And Lord, help us to not give in to anything else, but to fully surrender our lives to Jesus. Church, let's sing this song, can we?
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily.
See you.
surrender all our voices, and I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
So Father God, we stand and sit before you. And we just again surrender to you everything that we have and pray that you would use it for your glory and for your purposes this day. Amen. Just stay where you are, just this moment of prayer. Really good to say, Jane will be over and at her book thing. Maybe one of the stewards could get her a coffee, that'd be nice. Tea, she likes black tea, no sugar. And what I'd love us to do now, I would have asked Jonathan to do it, but I don't know if you could, would you mind praying for those who are going to the Mega Centre this afternoon? I haven't asked you to, but I'd love us just to have those who are going to serve this afternoon. There's about 300 people that don't know the Lord, and there's some of us that are going this afternoon just to do some stuff at the Mega Centre. I wonder, Jonathan, who's our pastor for church planting, I wonder if those who are going, just put your hand up so we just know. And those, I wonder if, Pastor, you can pray for them. And maybe those people around them, just put your hands out towards them, because we just want to go to be a good witness today. Yeah, so would you mind praying? I'm sorry I didn't ask you before the service, sorry. Bless you, thank you.
Let's pray, come on, let's pray. Yeah, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are with us, Emmanuel, God with us, and you go before us and prepare the way as well. And Lord, I pray for each of those people that have raised their hand this morning, both here and others that may not be with us this morning, but are still part of that Step Into Christmas event down there at Mega Centre. Lord, we want to pray for them, that you would fill them with your Spirit, that you would anoint them, Lord, for the work that you are calling them to do in that place this afternoon. Father, I pray that you would give them wisdom and discernment. Would you allow them to speak the truth and the hope that they have in you, that they would point others towards you, Jesus. Help them to do that in a way that's just an absolute blessing to those they come into contact with. But Lord, we pray that you would come and build your throne as they just carry out their service to you in that place. And Lord, we do pray that you would have your way in that event. Lord, would you undertake for everything that goes on there, from the very smallest detail to the biggest thing that happens, Lord. We pray that you would be in each and every part of that. As we've discovered in Joshua, you're the God of creation, yet you care for us individually. And so, Lord, I pray for that team as they go. Lord, would you go before them and prepare the way. Lord, would you continue to walk with them while they're there. And Lord, may we see fruit for your kingdom through this time and in the coming days and weeks as we focus on your birth, Jesus. And we ask that in your name. Amen. 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 Bless you, Lord.